Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
My dear Lord, although personally you have nothing to do, you have distributed your energies in the interactions of the material modes of nature. And for that reason, the creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation takes place. My dear Lord, you are self-determined and are the Supreme Personality of Godhead for all living entities. For them you created this material manifestation, and although you are one, your diverse energies can act multifariously. This is inconceivable to us. Purport. A statement made in this verse by Devahuti that the Absolute Truth has many diverse energies, although he personally has nothing to do, is confirmed in the Upanishads. There is no one greater than him or on an equal level with him, and everything is completely done by his energy, as if by nature. It is understood herein, therefore, that although the modes of each of whom was particularly invested with different kinds of power, the Supreme Lord is completely aloof from such activities. Devahuti is saying, although you personally are not doing anything, your determination is absolute. There is no question of your fulfilling your will with the help of anyone else besides yourself. You are in the end the Supreme Soul and the Supreme Controller. Your will, therefore, cannot be checked by anyone else. The Supreme Lord can check others' plans. As it is stated, man proposes and God disposes. But when the Supreme Personality of Godhead proposes, that desire is under no one else's control. He is absolute. We are ultimately dependent on him to fulfill our desires. We cannot say that God's desires are also dependent. That is in his inconceivable power. That which may be inconceivable for ordinary living entities is easily done by him. And in spite of his being unlimited, he has subjected himself to being known from the authoritative scriptures like the Vedic literatures. As it is said, Shabda Mulatvat, he can be known to the Sabda Brahma or Vedic literature. Why is the creation made? Since the Lord is the Supreme Personality of Godhead for all living entities, he created this material manifestation for those living entities who want to enjoy or lord it over material nature. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he arranges to fulfill their various desires. It is also confirmed in the Vedas, Ekobahanam Yobidati Kamam. The Supreme One supplies the necessities of the many living entities. There is no limit to the demands of the different kinds of living entities, and the Supreme One, the Personality of Godhead, alone maintains them and supplies them by his inconceivable energy. Oma gyan tumanandasya jananjana shalakaya chakshur militam jena tasmai sigadave namaha Sri Chaitanya manobisnam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamayam dadantishva padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudevi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Om Mam Hrim Shrom Om Parom Tathagata Gakesha Gajalat Parikalochana Vipharakanakas Vasudeva Singha Mostite. So in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear of the Lord's activities within the realm of the material energy. And one may naturally inquire, why are we interested in hearing about this material energy? After all, the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with the pastimes of the Lord, his pure devotees, and devotional service to the Lord. So what business do we have studying this material creation? The answer is that this material creation is one of the energies of Krishna. And as it's stated in this verse, it's working perfectly under his control. Although the Lord exists eternally in the realm of Vaikuntha, and in particular Goloka Vrindavan, with his most confidential devotees, absorbed in transcendental pastimes, this material world is simultaneously going on under his direction. As it's stated, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme. So herein is the inconceivable, again, as we mentioned yesterday, the inconceivable, the achintya, the inconceivable nature of the Lord, that he can simultaneously be engaged in his transcendental lila in the spiritual world without being disturbed in any way, while simultaneously being in control of the entire material energy. This is God. We ourselves, we have a hard time fixing ourselves on one thing. We're trying to execute one particular duty. And if someone comes and says, you know, can you do this also? Then we become all flustered. But the Lord is so wonderful, he is so great, that everything is going on simultaneously under his direction. So this material world is his energy. Maya dakshena prakriti suyute sacharachanam hetu kanane konteya jagati parvi paratate. He says that this material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti. It is the energy of the Lord, and simply by his will everything is going on. Prabhupada gave the example of an ordinary businessman. An ordinary businessman has a big business. Let us take, for example, something like IBM. IBM is a very big business organization. So somewhere at the top, there is a head of that organization, of IBM. So, but he is controlling the whole thing. He is sitting in one place doing his business. But simultaneously, by his will and by his direction, the whole company is growing and so forth all over the world. So if it's possible for an ordinary man to control something, and being in one place, and just by his instructions and so forth, things are going on all over the world, then is it not possible for the Supreme Lord, who's the original person, to be within the realm of Vaikuntha and at the same time have everything going on by his will? Of course it is. That is Krishna. Actually, Krishna has nothing else to do than to enjoy with the gopis and the cowherd boys. That's his only business. And his expansion as Vishnu engages in the Lord's pastimes within this material world. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, Kiranadakshai Vishnu, etc. Shiradakshai Vishnu. These are manifestations of Lord Krishna who act within the realm of the material world. So Prabhupada gave the analogy that a man at home, he's enjoying with his family, and then he assumes another personality when he goes to work. He's the same person, but he has different manifestations of his personality. So at home, that's Krishna. And at the office, that's Vishnu. Krishna at home is Krishna. And when he goes to the office, when he goes to do some work in the material world, that's Vishnu. But actually, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. We hear that statement sometimes. That actually, Krishna, he never goes outside of Vrindavan. He's always in Vrindavan because he's so much controlled by the love of his devotees. God is the supreme controller. What is more powerful than God? Nothing. What could be more powerful than God if he's the supreme controller? But here's the confidential understanding of Vaishnava philosophy. What is more powerful than God? Love of God. Bhakti. Because by bhakti, the devotee controls Krishna. Of course, Krishna is always the supreme controller. But he's attracted by the love of his devotee, so he allows himself to be beaten up by Subal and Sridhar, if they want. He allows himself to be teased by the gopis. He allows himself to be tied up by the rope of Mother Jasoda. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's the supreme controller, but love of God is even more powerful than him. Krishna is the Lord of Vrindavan, but actually, who's the real controller of Vrindavan? Shrimati Radharani. We say, Vrindavan Ishwari, Radhe, Radhe. Krishna is called Madan Mohan, he's the attractor of Cupid. And Radharani, she's called Madan Mohan Mohini. She's the attractor of Cupid. So, Krishna, he can't leave Vrindavan. How can he leave Vrindavan? He's so much controlled by the love of his devotees. Just like the perverted reflection in this material world. A man can't give up family life. Prabhupada said, every man is too much attached to his wife. This is the problem. Pum shastriya mitunibhavam tayor mito hidaya grantimaho. Ho vikshati sutaptivitar janasi mohoyam ammamiti. That the attraction between man and woman is the basic principle of material existence. And based on this misconception, which ties together the hearts, hridaya grantim, ties together the hearts of the male and the female, one becomes attached to his body, to his home, to his wife, to his children, to his house. And this way, one thinks in terms of I increases life's illusions. So we can see how powerful is the controlling force of Maya in our perverted reflection of our attraction for the opposite sex. But that original Adirasa of Krishna, that is there in the spiritual world. So as we can see, people are so controlled in this material world. So just imagine how controlled they are in the spiritual world. How much the gopis are, and the devotees of Vrindavan are feeling attraction for Krishna. And how much affection Krishna is actually feeling for his devotees. It's so strong. So therefore, Vivamangal Thakur was praying. Or rather, Rupa Goswami writes one verse. He says, in the same way that young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys, with the same intensity, let me have the same devotion for you. That is what the devotee prays for. So anyway, Krishna is never, he never goes outside of Vrindavan. How can he go? He's too much controlled. The love of his devotees won't allow him. So his expansion goes. The ordinary yogi, he can expand himself 10 times. But Krishna can expand himself unlimited of times. Unlimited. It's described in Brahma Samhita. Just as there are unlimited waves in the ocean, there's unlimited incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is God. An ordinary yogi, okay, boop, 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 10 times he expands himself. But if you watch that yogi, when one expansion raises the hand, they all raise the hand. and he moves his arm like this, they all move their arms like this. All the expansions. This is a particular siddhi which is described by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Well, they move the leg, all move the leg. So that ordinary yogi, he can expand himself 10 times, but he's doing the same thing in each expansion. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he expands, Parāśya Śaktir Vivitāiva Śrūyate, his energies are unlimited, and simultaneously is carrying on so many different pastimes, both within the Goloka Vrindavan, within the Vaikuntha realm, and within this material creation. This is God, Krishna. So she, Mother Devahuti is saying, you have nothing to do, but you have distributed your energies and interactions with the material modes of nature. And this way everything is going on. My dear Lord, you are the self-determined and you are the personality of Godhead for all living entities. You've created this material manifestation, although you are one. So she's amazed at how Krishna is simultaneously carrying all these pastimes within the entire creation. Krishna has 3 energies, basically. The material energy, the spiritual energy, and the marginal energy. He remains the supreme controller over all of them. So again, the question may be raised. So many verses here about the understanding the material nature and the material world, the movements of the living entities. Why are we studying this inferior energy of the Lord? If we're devotees, why don't we immediately go to the superior energy of the Lord, the superior pastimes of Krishna? Krishna dancing with the gopis, because we're not sahajas. Sahaja means one who takes everything very cheaply. So unless we actually understand Krishna's supreme position as the personality of Godhead and ourselves as the insignificant servants of the Lord, then our position is very precarious. We may want to imitate Krishna. There are some types of devotees, sahajas, who don't read the first 9 cantos. They're not interested. They go immediately to the 10th canto. And they want to hear about Krishna's dancing with the gopi. But a real devotee, he likes to hear everything about the Lord. Just like a young girl. She likes to hear everything about her father. Just like little Kalindi. Her father is a famous personality. Yasho. So, it's not that she just likes to hear about his his activities on Sankirtan. Sankirtan is the most glorious thing, going on Sankirtan. Devotees love to hear Sankirtan stories. Oh, you've got a Sankirtan story, please tell us. So, she likes to hear the Sankirtan stories, but she likes to hear everything about her father. She wants to know what clothes he wears, where he's going to be traveling, what type of work, what are you going to do today, Pita? You know, can I come, can I come? Can I do this? Every little detail. What type of toothbrush he uses. You know, right? What type of suchi kit he has. What his favorite color is. What he doesn't like. What's his favorite preparation? What's your father's favorite preparation? Gulabjamins? So, he has his activities, but everything. So if one is attracted to a person, one is attached to someone, then they like to hear everything about that person. So similarly, a devotee, he does not think that Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world are good and Krishna's pastimes in the material world are bad. That's a very offensive mentality. Everything Krishna does is wonderful. There's a chapter in Krishna book called Wonderful Krishna. You'll never see, you know, a tape, the best of Krishna. It's like we have those tapes, you know, the best of Elvis Presley or the something like that. The best of Michael Jackson. You know who Michael Jackson is? I'll talk to you after class. Actually, there was one tape like that, the best of Srila Prabhupada. I never liked this. The way that was put, the best of, as if something Prabhupada did was inferior. Everything Prabhupada did was perfect. So how can you say the best of Srila Prabhupada? His best songs. You may have a particular affection, but everything Prabhupada did is perfect. Just like we may say, Radha Gopinath are the best deities in Australia. And everyone's going to agree. But if I go to the next temple, I go to Adelaide and I see Radha Shamasundar. I say, your deities are the best deities in Australia. Everyone applauds. I'm not contradicting myself. Am I? This is Krishna. All contradictions are resolved in understanding the personality of Godhead. Out of his causeless mercy, he appears in so many multifarious ways simply to give pleasure to his devotees. So it's the same Krishna. So if we think my Krishna is best, what's wrong with that? Because Krishna is best. And he's appeared to you in this particular way. Therefore, for you, he's best. There's no contradiction. So it's not that Krishna has, you know, some bad activities and some good activities. They're all absolute. It's not that Prabhupada has some good songs and some bad songs. Even those old songs from you know, 22nd, 2nd Avenue, where you hear the big boom, boom, boom. Somebody's playing some garbage pails or something. Boom, 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 with this big, the big drum. You see in the movie? There's that movie, you know, with Hayagriva. And you can hardly hear the kirtan. It's not that that kirtan is any less than, you know, Prabhupada singing Yasomati Nandana Brajabhara Nagana Gokuluran. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he used to have sometimes play his devotees, have them play the kartals off tune, you know. And he'd get some devotees who don't, you know the proper octaves and melody, have them lead kirtan, just so devotees wouldn't get attached to the exterior, but the interior meaning of the holy name that is non-different than Krishna. Of course, it's always nice to have melodious kirtan. But the holy name's glories are not dependent upon the notes and the beat of the drum. They're absolute. Just like when you go to Adelaide. I hope no one in Adelaide gets this tape, but in Adelaide, nobody can sing there. You start singing one melody, and you get, there's 10 devotees, you get 10 different melodies in the temple. I've heard this from other, I started Samsara Dava, Samsara, boom, boom, boom. But it's not that, that wasn't a good kirtan. What's a good kirtan? A good kirtan is a kirtan which is chanted for the pleasure of Guru and Guranga. Whether one can hit the note or one can beat the drum properly, that's not of the utmost importance. Of course, Prabhupada said, detail is a sign of love. So we want to do everything perfectly. The right beat, the right kartals, the right note on the harmonium, that's there. But at the same time, we should understand, what is a really a good kirtan? A Good kirtan is kirtan which is actually done for the glorification. We're chanting. Why are we chanting? We're chanting for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. Why are we dancing like fools? Right? Sometimes we dance like crazy fools, turning around and jumping and spinning and going on the ground and perspiring just like crazy fools. Why? We were just showing our ecstatic appreciation of the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. We just want to glorify them. We want to express our heart's affection so we don't feel like just going, Om. Om. No. With all due respect, the home is also Krishna. But we like to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Rama. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakanchati. What happens when one comes to the platform of Brahma and he becomes blissful? He wants to chant and dance and show his affection for the Lord. So the holy name can never be contaminated. Of course, the quality of our chanting may not be perfect. We should come to that stage of Sudhanam. Then we can appreciate the full glories of the holy name. But we should understand the holy name is never contaminated. Prabhupada's kirtan, Prabhupada's preaching was absolute. So similarly, the Lord, his pastimes are absolute. Nama chintamani krishnas chaitanya rasa vigraha. Everything about the Lord, his name, his fame, his paraphernalia, his pastimes, they're all absolute. Who remembers an example of that from yesterday's class? About everything about the Lord being absolute. Who can remember an example? About the Lord's paraphernalia? Who was remembering that? Anyone? Yes?
The floor, the wall, the deities.
The jewels, the clothes, everything in the pujari room is tadiya. It is absolute because it's in relationship with Krishna. Therefore, we should offer proper respect and take proper care of Krishna's paraphernalia. Not even a single bead should be out of place. So everything about the Lord is absolute. So it's not that, oh, the Lord, his pastimes in this material world are inferior pastimes. We say this is the inferior energy of the Lord. What does that mean? His superior energy is three-quarters of his creation. And this material world, which is the inferior energy of the Lord, is only one quarter of his creation. It's the inferior energy. So what does that mean? Does that mean Krishna was creating a, oops? Okay. Just leave it over there. Anybody's bad, I'll send them there. Right? This just made a mistake here, you know? Like the doctor's operating, you know? Oops! Oh, excuse me. What do you mean, oops? What's happening? No. Not that we, you know, we just made a mistake and I'll just send all the bad people there. Like Australia. Are the Aussies sensitive about this? I don't know, I've never brought it up, but there are certain things that you just don't bring up in certain countries. Certain places. Like in South Africa, you just don't talk about how the Zulus, you know, were there before the Dutch. It's never even considered. It's as if the Dutch were always there. And the Dutch, they sacrificed, you know, onto Pretoria. There's a famous song, Onwards to Pretoria, you know, the great march for the freedom of the Dutch settlers. But the point was that the Zulus were there, you know, for thousands of years before the, so, but you don't bring that up. You know, you bring up the sacrifice of the white man, which makes him superior to the black man. Because he sacrificed and spilled his blood for Africa. The white man is glorious and he has his right to stay there. But they never mention how the black man has been so much exploited and suffered at the hands of the white man. So some things you don't bring up. So I don't know if the Australians are sensitive to the fact that I heard that, you know, that our ancestors here were all convicts and ruffians and rogues. So, anyway, Hare Krishna. Was no, yesterday was annex day or something. So we're just balancing everything out, right? We don't want to get too nationalistic, so we'll just balance it out. So anyway, so it's not that Krishna made a mistake, and all those useless souls, I'll send them there to the where I made a mistake, and I make some more mistakes, you know. Oh, here's a perfect being. Here's a perfect. Another mistake. Okay, the material world. I'm creating. Ah, perfect. Very nice. Excellent. Here's a prabhav. Oh, down to the material world. Here's a Nixon. Down you go, rascal. No, it's not like that. The creation of the Lord, inferior in the sense that, how do we say inferior? In the sense that it doesn't act like the spiritual world. Perfect, more perfect, most perfect. That's God's creation. It's always perfect. But our understanding of perfection can also increase. It's like in the spiritual world, there's gopis and there's bugs. It's not that the bees' service is inferior to the service of the gopis, although we do say that Radharani's service is the most excellent. The gopis have the topmost love for Krishna. Prabhupada, in another lecture, he said, if you think that Mother Yasoda's love is inferior to Radharani's, you're an aparadi. You're an offender. It's all absolute. Krishna appreciates as much Hanuman as he does the little spider. But another level, we may say that the gopis' love for Krishna is supreme. So, it's not that Krishna created a mistake, this material world. It's perfect. And the Vaikunthas is more perfect. And the Goloka Vrindavan is most perfect. It's perfect. But Nectar Devotion describes perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. So it's perfectly working under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Lord. So we only say inferior in the sense that it's temporary, full of ignorance and suffering, whereas the spiritual world is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. But even that temporary, ignorant, suffering creation of the Lord is perfect, because everything is going on by His will. Just like the government. The government doesn't want to create the prison house, but it's obliged. Because within the creation, within the state, there are certain people who are like prisoners, who are like criminals, so we have to make a place for them. So it doesn't want, but to facilitate these people, this correctional institution is given. And actually it's that. In the old dictionaries, it's not called a prison, it's called a correctional institution. It has a purpose, to correct the individual and bring him to his senses. So this material world is perfect. Why is it perfect? Because it can bring us to the stage of perfection. How is that? It's a correctional institution. And after suffering here for such a long time, finally the living entity comes to his senses. Ah! What am I doing here? I want to go back home. I want to go back with Krishna. What am I doing rotting in this material world, being independent of the Lord? That's the purpose of the prison. After 10, 20 years of hard labor, the prisoner goes, I'll never steal again. Never. Pain also has its purpose. Just like a woman, when she gives birth to a child, Prabhupada said, she is thinking, I'll never do this again. How was I so crazy to get into this? It's not worth it. Ah! And then half an hour later, oh, you're so cute. Wouldn't you like a little brother or sister? So the pain has its purpose like that. So the pain of material existence, just like the uncomfortable nature of the prison, the inconvenience of the prison. Prisons aren't made to be nice. They're made to be uncomfortable. The prisoner shouldn't expect, oh, I'm coming to prison now. You know, where's the nice soft rugs and the silver and the chandelier? What's going on here? Wait, what's all gray here for? Hey, what do you mean I have to work all day? What do you No, it's for a purpose. So no one can say God is unjust. God, how could there be God if there's suffering in this world? But God has not created this suffering. You have created the suffering by disobeying God's instructions. The Lord is just like, we have our independence. We're not forced. He's like the judge. Someone comes before him. Yes, what has he done? He's stolen. 5 years in jail. Yes, what has he done? He saved a person who was drowning. Award him $1 million. The Lord is neutral. He's impartial. Krishna says, I am not partial to anyone, neither do I envy anyone. He's like the neutral judge. It's according to our karma that we experience good and evil in this material world. Who can say God is partial? Even in the material world, an ordinary father cannot be partial, otherwise he's not a real father, right? If one's daddy loves one child more than the other, that is not very good. A father should not be partial. He should love all his children equally. Isn't it, Kadambi? Kadamba. Who's your sister? What's her name? Anyway, whatever her name is. If the father shows particular affection to one and not the other, then he's not a good father. So if that is the ordinary rule within this material world, then how can we say that it would be any different? So in the same way, if we offer our service to Krishna, the Lord becomes obliged. Transcendentally obliged. He becomes obligated to his devotees. He's done so much nice service. So feeling some obligation there. So although the Lord is neutral, he is described as the overseer. Ishvara sarvabhutanam rideshe arjuna tishtati. That he is in the heart of every living entity. As we wander through this material creation, and he is reciprocating according to our desire. There's no such thing as injustice. This inferior creation of the Lord is perfect because it is being orchestrated by the Supreme Personality of God. So why do we study so much? Because we like to hear what Krishna does. Oh yes, he's the Lord of Vrindavan, but what did he do when he came to the material world? How was he acting? What did he say? What did he do? We're very interested. It's like, oh, what did you do today, Father? Oh, I did this and this. Oh, and tell me more. This is not sahaja, cheap devotee. Just wanting to hear the loving pastime. Therefore, we go through the first 9 cantos. Because by hearing of the greatness of the Lord, we can appreciate our insignificant position. And not develop a cheap mentality. Just like if you see something very big, you immediately feel humbled. If something very powerful happens, you feel very insignificant and very small. Some things like natural catastrophes that make people feel very humbled. Oh, material energy is so great. I am so small. Look at all these stars. So the sign of a real devotee, the closer that he approaches to Krishna, the more humble he becomes. Not that he becomes puffed up and proud. No. The nature of a true devotee, you can actually understand who's advancing in Krishna. His vision of Krishna. He'll see Krishna, yes. He'll see the greatness of God. And in contrast, he'll see his own insignificant position. If he's true, just like if you truly see something wonderful within nature, you'll think, oh, I'm so insignificant. So if you truly realize the greatness of God, you'll become devoid of pride. Trinadapi sunichena, torapi sahisnana, amanina, amanina, kirtane yad sadahavi. This is the sign of a devotee. How is it possible? How is a devotee feeling himself very humble? Real humility can come when actually one realizes Krishna. Krishna is so great. Therefore, we must go through the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't immediately go to 10. We read the first 9 cantos, so we realize how great is Krishna. Then when we hear his pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan, we don't take them cheaply. Oh, Krishna's like me, but a little bit stronger maybe. So I can also enjoy like gopis. You see in Vrindavan, sometimes they put on the saris and the lipstick, the men, and they wander around, you know. Oh, Gopi Bhav, Gopi Bhav. Sheep? No. We realize I'm in significant service. So when we hear Krishna's pastimes with his intimate devotees in the spiritual world, these are not ordinary pastimes. Metal is metal, but there's a difference between gold and iron. So the Lord's pastimes in the spiritual world are pristine, pure, and clean. So for that reason, we understand Krishna's activities in this material world. And one last point, another point, why we study this material creation? Because we are conditioned by this material energy. Daiva iesha gunamai. This energy of mind is very difficult to overcome. Prabhupada said, when you take to Krishna consciousness, it's like declaring war on the material energy. So any soldier knows you have to know the enemy. If you want to fight the enemy, you have to know what the enemy's like. That they have that, you know, what do they call it? Surveillance patrols. They're not necessarily fighting, but they're going out to see, watch the enemy, what they're doing, what are their plans, spying, trying to figure out where they're, what are their movements, where are their actions. And the more you know about your enemy, then the better your chances are of being victorious. If you know nothing about it, war doesn't just mean that you go and you start shooting. There's a whole science to war. If you read in the Vedic literatures, there's a whole part just about warfare. And up in the battle itself is only one small part. There's a whole scene around the battle of intrigue and spying and learning and understanding and trying to analyze, understanding the strong points and the weak points of one's enemy, and then attacking. Well, similarly, we have declared war on Maya. Little old you and me. I declare, it's like, you know, Lithuania declaring war, you know, on China. You know Lithuania? Or let's say Switzerland. Or let's say Tasmania, it's called? Tasmania. Let's say Tasmania all by itself. We declare war on America, Russia, China, and Japan. You know. What is that? Well, little Lithuania, you're declaring war on China and Japan and Russia and America? What is your chance? You've got no chance. I'm going to be a devotee. Maya's going, okay, let's see if you're going to become a devotee now. Take this. After a few years, I want to be your servant, Maya. Come. So we have to know, what are Maya's tricks? We have to hear about this material energy so that we can become advanced in Krishna consciousness. You can never trust Maya. Actually, what is our position? We are very insignificant. We are very weak. So then what's the hope? What can we do? Maya is so powerful. Vishwamitra Muni, he fell down. Austerity, 60,000 years. He could control his mind and senses living underwater. So powerful. But, you know, Menaka came and dingle, 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 dingle. Oh, what's that? Where is it? You know, he couldn't control himself. So what is our position? What austerities have you performed? What penances have you performed? How much knowledge do you know? How many shlokas do you know? And even if you know them, you know, Daiviyeshagunamayi, what can you do? Where is our shelter? Our shelter is at the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. We are very small, but we learn the technique of bhakti yoga. What is bhakti yoga? You take shelter of Krishna, take shelter of Guru, take shelter of the Vaishnavas. And that is your strength. I gave the example last time I was here of all the little sand crabs on the sand, and Prabhupada's walking, and vroom, they all go into the water. So Prabhupada said, why did they go in the water? So the devotee said, well, because this. And Prabhupada said, no, because they're very small. And they know that they can take shelter in the great ocean. And you cannot touch them if they're in the ocean. So, Krishna is very great, and we are very small. And if we take shelter of Krishna, we'll receive protection. So how to be protected? How to take shelter of Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have nothing to fear. Fear personified is afraid of the holy name. So if we always want to remain in Krishna consciousness and not be tricked by this material energy, we have to read these books, see what is Maya's plan. Ah, yes, she tried that on me the other day. All glories to Prabhupada, Hare Bol. Yes, and this is going to happen in the future. Dhanam, Janam, Sundarim, some fame may come. Ah, I should be careful. Remember, I'm servant of my Guru Maharaj. Your mercy is all that I am made of. Anyone is offering me some praise, what is that? It's simply a reflection. Whatever good qualities I have are a reflection of Prabhupada's mercy upon me. Just like the sun. You can see the sun in thousands of reservoirs of water. The same sun. Thousands of reservoirs of water reflected in the water. The reflection is there because the sun is there. So my good qualities, What are my good qualities? It is only a reflection of Guru Maharaj's mercy. Women or men, wealth, these are na dhanam na janam nusundurin. It's not that we're beyond it. So we can see, oh, these things are coming up by reading Prabhupada's book. Prabhupada said, if you don't read all my books, you'll fall down. Why all the books? Because it's full of transcendental instructions to protect us from Maya and enliven us in devotional service. So Maya has many tricks, but Prabhupada said, everything's in my book. So every trick of Maya is a counteraction in Prabhupada's book. So you may read everything, but if you don't read that last book, there may be a trick there which Maya's holding, you know, the sucker punch, you know. You think everything's all right? You know, never be confident. We can never become confident. Oh, now, I've made so much advancement that I can, you know, dilly and dally a little bit in the material world. No, no. That sucker punch. Okay, sucker, down you go. We have to be very cautious. So we have to read to know every one of these tricks that Maya may offer. And we have to constantly keep ourselves Krishna conscious. And the best way to remain Krishna conscious and free from Maya's influence, despite our tiny position, is to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, who has so kindly and mercifully appeared completely and wholly in the form of His holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Would anyone like to ask any questions or comments? Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Gaura Premanandi.